Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm so excited to be bringing you our guest, Latika Luthra. She is an intuitive spiritual wellness coach and a healer. She has been in the field for the last 16 years. She helps and supports people, especially women, to build an empowered relationship with themselves and consequently with the outside world. She helps people to align themselves with their soul blueprint and life path. She is also, I don't know how to say that word.
Clairaudience and sentinel, audio where like I can hear things and I can feel things. When I'm in the energy field of a person and I'm working with them, that's how I'm an intuitive coach. Like through my intuition, through my feelings, able to read their energy and help them to, you know, just help them and guide them to find themselves. So it's actually they who find them, but I'm like, if I just help them and guide them, they can actually know where they are and where they need to be.
I love that. That's perfect. Thank you so much for helping me with that. And welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you, Amanda, for giving me a chance to be here.
Yes, of course. So could you tell us, you know, a little bit of your story, where you came from and how you got to be where you are today?
So my story, it started 29 years ago. So I'm actually coming from India, and I was married, and I am married actually, and I have two daughters. I came from India in 2014 to this country. I took an asylum to this country because in my marriage, I got engaged at the age of 17, and then I got married at the age of 23. But my education didn't stop because I'm coming from a good family and very well-to-do family, things like that. But I got I studied, I did my master's, then got married, had a kid, started my own practice as a clinical psychologist. But that was an outside surface, you know, but inside I was still someone's wife or someone's daughter. And there was a lot of problems going on, a lot of domestic abuse, a lot of stuff. I had my first daughter. It was not a good sign because I'm married to a North Indian family, so I need to produce a son. And that didn't go well. Then after a few years, again, I got pregnant. So again, the same, like I got another daughter. It didn't go well at all. And that's how life's journey went. Outside, I still started to work, did everything on my own. But inside in the house, it was always scary, not being my own person. But I still continued because, you know, when my second daughter was born, everybody told me, oh, she's mentally retarded and she's this and that. You need to live a better life. And so every day there was some kind of a violence happening, but nobody would say anything to anybody because he's my husband, they're my in-laws, they have all the right. And my parents wouldn't say anything because I'm married now. I'm not theirs anymore. So that's how it is. But outside, we are a very educated family. And I am working, so nobody can say, you're not doing what you want to do.
Right.
That's how my journey started. And ultimately, I realized that this can't happen because my daughters were growing up and I started to go more towards energy healing. And I started to realize that life is not what it is right now. Life is something that I can change because that's what I was doing with my clients, with my patients at that moment. And somewhere over the years, when my daughters were 10 and 14, I don't know, in between I had Hodgkin positive tumors and I went through a lot of problems. So I started to realize that the more I become sad, the more I start to say that I don't deserve to live in this world, the more I started to fall ill. And that's how I started to realize that I cannot be this person. I need to be a different person, a different version, a better version of me. And then that's what I used to do with my clients who would come, you know, I would help them. I would actually help them to be where they are today. And most of my clients are doing very well for themselves. And I said, why can't I do that for myself? Right. And I have so much, you know, this universe, the creator has given me, I can do so much. And I have these wonderful daughters. What am I teaching them? Then in 2014, one fine day, I just told my father, like, I'm going to go to States and, you know, just show the kids this thing, Disneyland. And he says, you know, you can't get your visa without your husband. You are nobody without your husband. I said, you know what? If I get it, I will go. I tried it. I got it because I was living on my own. Even though I was married, I had my own income tax and everything. So I did get my visa because visa officer is not an Indian in his mentality. So he did get, he was not looking for my husband. And he just spoke to my daughters and we got 10 years of visa. We came here and then I applied for asylum. In 2014, May, we came here, we applied for asylum for 1.5 years, or a little bit more than that. It was a struggle for all three of us. Ultimately, I said to myself, I need to do something, you know, I need to be positive. So again, changing vibration, changing intuition, because you're coming from such a volatile and violent place. Your subconscious mind or your unconscious mind keeps on going back to that place, keep on going back to that place. And you keep on saying, that was good enough. What if I was being beaten up? What if things didn't go that way? What if it's okay, but at least I had a house. At least I had this. At least I had that. So, you know, I started to work on myself. Got a good job in a corporate company. I started to build up this thing. We got a beautiful rented apartment. My children were doing well. And I'm very proud to say in these 7 years now, I've built a small home for three of us. My daughter, my older one, is going to Johns Hopkins School of Education for her master's. When she came here, she was in 10th grade. Wow. And my younger one is going to Baruch. For her graduation, to start her undergraduate program in sociology and anthropology.
So wow.
I feel so blessed. And I have started my full-fledged as a spiritual wellness coach, took my license, took my everything what is needed for the U.S. for me to work. And I took that. I did everything. And now we're here. We are having my own practice, like my own work of doing counseling and spiritual healing with people and helping them to reach where they want to be.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You know, when you said, you know, since you've come from, you know, a lot of violence and negative things going on in your life, it's so true that, you know, once we start to separate ourselves from the negative things, we tend to revert back to that way of thinking. And it's really hard to, you know, tell ourselves that we are worth it and those negative things happen, but that's not where we need to stay. So, you know, but that whole process. So can you tell us more on, you know, how you dealt with, you know, when you would have those negative thoughts come back into your life, what was it that you did to, you know, create that positive? Like, was it gratitude that you practiced? Did you meditate? Was it a combination? Like what, you know, process did you go through to get over those negative thoughts?
So, whenever I would get negative, gratitude would be the first thing, because when I would look at myself and I say, I didn't become educated on it on its own. I there's something in it. You know, there's a larger picture or a bigger picture that I'm not able to see. So the first thing would come was gratitude. Like, I'm grateful and I'm so thankful and I appreciate every moment of my life. I had to see that. I had to see that light even in the, because I did my master's, I did my PhD in clinical hypnotherapy and past life regression therapy. You know, all those stuff, it wouldn't just happen on its own. I was doing something right that I was getting out. So that was the gratitude. That was something that I never forgot. And then as I started to do more of healing work, automatically I started to open myself to this understanding that my soul has not yet been touched by anybody who could, you know, take away the life from me. My soul is still there with me. I just needed to align myself, my unconscious part and my intelligent part to my soul and see at my life, that is what is the soul blueprint is. Like, why did this happen to me? What are my thoughts? What are my beliefs? Are these thoughts even mine? Or are they my parents who told me that you are nobody because your husband doesn't brand you or, you know, put you in that scale? I am someone somebody. I am somebody.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thought feeling came. And then the more I used to do this, I started meditating. I started doing a lot of other stuff. Whatever I would learn, I would first implement it on myself.
Right.
Like I started doing tapping. I started doing EFT. The more I started to do all these different meditation, different modalities, I started to put that on myself. I started to follow that. And then automatically, as my vibration changed, automatically opportunities opened up for me. People came and helped me. I got all the support. My daughters, like everybody used to tell me, like, you're going to go to the States, like, you know, the Indian culture, Western culture, they will be this, they will be that. No, you have such wonderful people that my children, both my daughters are where they want to be, you know, and we are more closer than ever. So it's the meditation, believing in myself, changing my vibration, and actually understanding the concept that nothing comes in your life until unless you don't want to. And unknowingly, you're doing it sometimes. Sometimes it takes me time. Like, it takes me for a few moments, but I have certain ways to put my back again to that vortex of, you know, being go on the path where I know that I want to be and not go to the path where I do not want to be.
Yeah, that's so important. You know, I think too with gratitude, if we could start, you know, if you're having a bad moment, it's so important, you know, even if it's just like the air you're breathing in, just say, I'm so grateful that, you know, I'm able to breathe in this air today. I'm so grateful that the universe is giving me another day to live and be here. Like that, you know, in itself can change your perspective and be able to say, okay, like, yes, that's where I came from, but I don't have to keep reliving that. I can move forward from these negative things that have happened to me. I love that you call this a soul blueprint. Could you tell us more about your soul blueprint? I would love to hear more about that.
Oh, okay, definitely. So each one of us has come with a soul blueprint. So when we're on a soul level, we don't have any feelings. We just want to experience Earth. So we make a story for ourselves, a great story for ourselves, without having emotions in it. It's a beautiful journey for the soul. And each one of us has that. And when we come onto this earth, for the first 2 years, every child remembers that. So that's why sometimes you will see your babies, they are talking to somebody, or, you know, even when they're sleeping, they are just like, you know. So those kind of things happen. But after a while, we start to have this thing called free will. And we want to explore more, and we want to do more. And then, of course, then these beliefs that is being given to us by others, and we think, even though we call it as a limiting belief in our spiritual world or in a psychological world, but it's not limiting. It's like you are there, somebody tells you something, you think it's the best, and then you go with those beliefs that keep on making you more restricted to grow as a soul or to experience things as a soul. So once you come to realize what is your soul blueprint, what is it that you really wanted? What was your life path? What was your purpose? When do you really, really feel good?
Yeah.
So when you go into that, I teach people how to know that and how to learn about their soul blueprint. So they learn, okay, I've come here to be a teacher. This is how my life is. This is what my purpose is. And, you know, there are many purposes, by the way. It's not that you have just come here for one purpose. Like you are a mother, you are a wife, you're a daughter. So there are different purposes, but you are you too. You cannot forget yourself that you are you too. Like you wanted these people, these soul partners to come into your life to help you to experience that life. But you never told them that I'm going to get stuck with you and not ever find myself in that. But we tend to forget that. So I help through the soul blueprint to understand that, where they are and what's the journey and what they wanted to experience. So I teach them different tools, how to go there and how to change it.
Wow. I love that. I know for me, like, you know, when you talked about like how we tend to forget ourselves, that's like so true. I know, like, I spent the majority of my life, I lived for everyone else.
Yes.
You know, I was like, oh, this person, if I don't do this, she's going to be mad at me. Or if I don't agree with his opinion, he's going to yell at me. So you kind of start to morph into the people around you. And then all of a sudden you're left with, you don't even know what you stand for anymore. You have no idea what your purpose is, like you were saying. And that's so important to take that time to figure that out, because you are so important. Like your soul, what you were put here to do, it matters. And, you know, talking about more along the lines of like self-care and trying to, you know, find yourself, you know, with self-care, a lot of times you hear like people, I forget what I was reading. I think it was a post on Facebook, probably. That's where I spend all my time. but someone said, you know, it's a misconception that self-care is selfish. And for a long time, I thought it was. I thought if I thought of myself first, I was being selfish. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like you were saying, that's not true. We have to think of ourselves. We have to love ourselves. And I love that you're helping people be able to find that, because so many of us get lost. You know, I was lost for a very long time.
And if you notice, Amanda, sometimes most of the women, they do this when they are in a fight or when they're in a problem, they actually go outwards. Like, you know, they'll say, oh, what did I do? He's so sad, or she's not happy. Let me do this. And they, in that whole period, they never think, what did they feel for themselves? Were they unhappy? Were they sad? Did they get angry? They don't even touch that emotion of theirs. And they put it inside themselves. And they, after a few days, they come up with some disease, or they come up with more sadness or guilt. Everything starts from, and they go back to a place of fear. But most of them, they will never go inwards. We do not know what self-care is. We do not know what self-compassion is. If I tell you to think about your baby, you're going to think about your baby and you're going to have all the compassion. But when I say, okay, now let's say the baby is there with you, and now you say, okay, she has all the compassion. But now if you look at yourself and say with the same love of compassion, you will cry, because you have never done that. You have never actually shown yourself real compassion. We don't do that. And most of the people don't do that. And especially I've seen women. They tend to forget themselves, because they've been taught any culture. The more you give yourself, that is your a sign or symbol of you being a woman.
Mm.
That's why if you notice, most of the women nowadays have so much of thyroid and uterus problems. You name it and they have it.
Yeah, that's very true. I know for me, like even now, even after figuring out my purpose and finding myself and my true values and making and trusting my intuition and knowing I'm not going to make bad choices, I am, you know, with my husband, you know, we'll be having like, he'll be upset about something. I'm instantly, well, what did I do?
Yeah.
You know, what did I do to make him feel sad? Like, how, and he'll get angry with me. Like, why do you think it's like, you didn't do anything? I'm just sad. You know, and a lot of times we do, we internalize.
Yeah.
Especially if you're high empathic, which I think a lot of women are empaths as well. You know, you take everyone else's emotions as your own. And then it's really hard to remember, okay, well, how do I feel right now?
That's
true. Can I, if I look at him, he's sad. So, but don't blame me instantly. Like, figure out like, okay, well, how am I feeling right now? How can I be strong for him? Like, it's not always something you did. Like, not to say that, you know, there aren't arguments that were your fault. Obviously, we all make mistakes. But, you know, as a whole, you know, and a lot of times when you bring up women as well, I'm sorry for the men listening, but this got me on a tangent. But we tend to apologize for everything. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh, you stubbed your toe. I'm sorry. I left that there. That's why that happened. Oh, my son, you know, he fell off his bike. Oh, that was my fault because I wasn't paying attention for that 1 second. I'm sorry. Like, everything is your fault. And when you live like that, it can really affect your self-compassion, as you said. That's powerful.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's everything on you. Like, when we've come here, like, it's been like 7 years now. And if somebody I hear from India, my friends or something, and if they've come in contact with my husband over there, he doesn't know where I am. He comes to know where I, like, he say, okay, as long as, so she, I can forgive her because my children are in a good place. So I know I'm going to forgive her. Like, that's the way he still talks. Like, I'm thinking, like, in which world is he living?
Yeah, right.
No, you know, people don't change. Everybody scrutinize you for what you did. They never see why she did it or why she needed to do that to be where she is.
Yeah, that's
and most
true.
Of the women don't. They are, as I said, I was somebody out there. People used to come to me. I'm working with them. I'm a psychologist. Then I became a Like I finished my, I became a proper certified and licensed clinical hypnotherapist and past life regression therapist, but big names, everything, running my own clinic in India. But I'm nobody when I come home. Nobody, like no one. Like if I have to really think, go back, I don't even think about it because I'm grateful and I appreciate everything in my life that I have now. That helps me to let go of the past. Because every time I don't have to go past to heal myself, what I'm trying to say. You can be appreciative about who you are now, live in now, and then go forward from there. Automatically, everything in the past will start working too, you know, being faded away. And the more you the more you forgive yourself, the more you release the pain.
Yeah, that's true too. Forgiveness is, self-forgiveness is so impactful. You know, the things that I've been through and the things that I've experienced, abandonment, you know, going to jail and being homeless and all these things. And I lived in that shame, you know, for so long. And I had to forgive myself because ultimately I made the choices, you know, in my story, like I made those things happen because I didn't think I was worth anything more than that.
Yes.
You know, so it's, you know, the cliche is I'm flipping the script, you know, I am able through affirmations. And I love to visualize as well. I'm a huge visualization person.
It's a beautiful technique.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And it has brought me so many blessings. The house that I sit in today, I manifested this. When I got my apartment literally across the street, when I signed my lease, it was in this house. My landlord was living here at the time. And I told myself, I will live in this house. Yeah, it took time. It was 3 years later, but it happened because I wanted it to happen. And I knew I deserved to have this home for my family. That's so powerful. All the things that you said, like I could talk to you for literally hours about all this stuff, but I would love to, you know, just ask you one last question. And that is your, you know, what's your number one tip for our listeners to be able to let the good things into their lives? What's one thing, you know, you would tell them to do?
Two things, actually, I'm going to tell them, and we've already spoken about that, is first of all, be in a place of gratitude. You deserve it. You're worthy of it. You need to even be in gratitude with yourself that, hey, I was born on this world, on this earth, and I wanted to. I'm going to experience this. I'm going to love every moment. So come from a place of gratitude. As you said, even the sun rays or it's raining outside, that feeling, you know, everything that makes you happy, even this cup of warm tea or something, whatever makes you happy, feel grateful. Or sorry, not even grateful, because grateful comes from a place of lack. And being appreciative comes from a place of abundance. So start feeling appreciative about who you are, where you are. And secondly, allow yourself to forgive. Forgive yourself. That's the main key, because if you don't forgive, you are not able to go. Like, forgive. Like, sometimes when we say to ourselves, why did I have to go through that? Yeah. What is it about? So don't repent or don't resent or don't regret. Just forgive. You don't even have to work on it. Just say, I'm sorry. Just think of yourself and then just say, I'm forgiving myself. And then just let it go. And just say thank you to yourself. That's all you need to do.
Yes.
And things will start to change. You have to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Things will. It's exactly like, if I want to lose my 10 pounds, I'm going to go to gym. One day it won't happen. You have to go for 1 month. You have to go for 2 months. You have to feel that energy, vibration, and everything in your body to change to lose that 10 pounds, right? Yeah. Same thing. You have to do that for yourself. Never, ever, because your soul never gives up on you. Your soul never gives up on you. And your soul is aligned to your higher self, and higher self is aligned to the universe and the creator of all that is. That's all we are. So never give up on yourself, because this one power that is connected to you is your own soul and your own higher power. So first thing is be appreciative, be in gratitude. And second thing is allow yourself to be, forgive yourself, like allow yourself, give yourself that permission.
Yeah.
And allow the fun and the joy to come into your life.
Yeah. That's so powerful. Thank you for sharing everything that you've shared with us today. This has been a wonderful conversation. So grateful to have had you on the show. And just to wrap it up, I just want to remind everyone out there listening that you are stronger than you think, and you are worth having the life you imagine having. And please make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button so that you don't miss an episode of the Let Good Things In show. And I will talk to everyone soon.